This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and I'm speaking with Craig Kramers. Mr. Kramers is the president and CEO of CEO Tools, Incorporated, and has been the president and CEO of 8 different corporations in 8 different industries, which makes him really an invaluable resource, especially considering his abilities to articulate the different things he's learned for the sweeping industry. So Mr. Kramers was also the Timco-sponsored featured speaker through NAPSA at the recent National Pavement Exposition in Nashville the first part of February. So welcome, Craig, to the interview here on World Sweeper, and we sure appreciate your interest and willingness to provide for those who couldn't make it to the National Pavement Expo the highlights of your presentation, which was terrific. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Ranger. It's a great pleasure to be talking with you and your audience, and it was fun being at the National Pavement Expo as well.
What would you like to bring out to the people that are listening? I know it's a little different than having people in the room with you doing a presentation. Tell us, if you would, I guess, a little bit about your topic and give us an overview, and then whatever specifics you think are important.
Well, Ranger, at that meeting in early February at the National Pavement Expo, I gave an address called the Profit Maker's Tool Chest, which is, of course, adapted a little bit for the particular audience, but I speak on that subject a lot, and it's how to improve your profits as well as everything else relative to what's going on in the economy right now, because this recession, while it was over technically a year and a half ago, I can't find anybody who thinks or says it's over, that it's better. I hear people saying it's better than last year, but we're so far below 2007-2008 that I think there's a different emphasis needed. So that's we focus on Profit Maker's Tool Chest. We talked about a number of topics. The first one was a focus on customers, because one of the things that we're finding in this recession, or recovery if you want to call it that, is that volume is key. Sales, revenues, customers, however you want to say that. And so we talked about how to get and keep more customers and how to really focus on them.
Well, that's certainly one of the most critical aspects that there could be in any business. Give me some ideas of the different areas that you think people can actually make an effect with.
Well, the one that just hits me without, I don't have a computer or anything in front of me right now, but the one that I focus on a lot, whatever business I'm dealing with, and I consult on the subject as well, but the one that really stands out, I call the customer care tool. It's where you focus on the customer by doing the following. Take a clipboard, pencil, paper, of course, on the clipboard, and walk through your business. Walk through from before the customer does business with you, when they're a prospect. What do they have to go through to find out about you, to locate you, either on the internet or wherever, to then be contacted by you, find out about what you can do for them, and then hopefully place their order, walk through all the steps the customer has to go through in doing that, and then they place their order, they get the product or service, and the bits and pieces about that, of course. Then they come out the other side, they get their invoice, they get follow-through with you, they pay their invoice, and then hopefully reorder. And if you walk through those steps, you'll find a lot of places where you can improve it and make it more convenient for the customer. So that one just hits me. And if you actually do that walk-through, not just in your head, but with some of your people, and go talk to a few customers about how you can improve that process, they'll give you answers, believe me.
Boy, that sounds like very valuable information. That's a good exercise that would be good for virtually anyone in business.
Yes, at the printing company, Graphic Arts Center, that I was CEO of quite a few years ago, we did this regularly. We did this every 6 months or so, and not just with the customer, but with other things as well. How can we improve the environment that our employees live and work in, because they spend more waking hours there than any other single thing they do. So that whole theme, of course, sort of reverberates when you think about it. How can we make it better? Let me give you an example. I was speaking to a group in Ottawa, Canada, of all places, and one of the CEOs said, I know what causes sales in our business, and it's different than our competitors. And I said, well, tell me about it. And he did. He said, well, what we do is we get all of our business through the Internet. Not that I'm saying that's the answer, but we get all our business through the Internet. And our competitors get all their business by still calling on the customers with or the prospects with their sales forces. And we don't even need a sales force anymore because we're doing it the way the customer wants to do it. They want to do it on their own time. They don't want to drop everything they're doing in the middle of the day and, you know, listen to the sales pitch, the features, advantages, benefits, call to action, placing the order. They don't want to go through all that. They just want to go to the Internet and you know, find out what we offer and do it that way and place your order. And so we're taking market share away from our competitors like there's no tomorrow. And in addition, our cost base is less because we're doing it with the Internet. Now, to sum that up, it's not a question of using the Internet. It's a question of using what's more convenient and better for your customers. And that's the focus of that customer care tool I was just talking about.
Absolutely. And I think so often people don't really realize that. They may, in fact, set their hours for making sales calls at particular times and then wonder why they can never get hold of anybody or how difficult it is to get appointments when they may be going at it exactly in the wrong fashion and instead should be modifying their customer call hours to what their average customer wants to have.
That's exactly right. And, you know, a lot of businesses operate Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and their customers operate, as far as doing other things, on Saturday and Sunday. And you see retail businesses doing this. They operate Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and their customers really want to get hold of them all hours Saturday and even Sundays. And the smart ones are readjusting their hours. Years ago, there was a company in California that just took the market away on tires for cars. And it was called 4-Day Tire. And so they were open on the most frequently purchased tire days of the week and closed the other 3 days. And you just think about the economies of that and what it does for the customer. That makes all kinds of good sense.
Well, it certainly does. And I think we get locked into the fact that sort of the American culture is Monday through Friday, you know, from sometime in the morning till about 5. In my travels, when I was writing about sweeping methodology throughout Europe, we ended up with a car difficulty that where we needed to get into a garage for overnight. The windows wouldn't roll up. I went swimming with the electronic keys for the Mercedes station wagon we were in, and it was about quarter to midnight when we rolled into Porto, Portugal, which was our first town to come to, and we thought, well, boy, what a trouble this is going to be to leave this car unlocked on the street. But in Portugal, most businesses are open 8 to noon and then 8 to midnight. Very unusual, but, you know, not only did was there somebody there, but he was happy to take us in, take a cursory look, lock it up for the night. That was my first inkling, I guess, to realize that we should really be thinking about, you know, what our hours are to be in tune with our customers. I had never really given it much thought before.
Sure, that's just a natural in terms of this customer care thing. What we can do that meets up with what the customer really needs as opposed to what we conventionally want to do or our competitors are doing.
Right. Well, that's a good one. I know that you have many more. Tell me more.
Well, one of the other areas I talked about was financial management, and here you focus not just on the P&L statement, the income statement, because everybody focuses on profit, but you focus on your balance sheet and your cash flow. And during this recession recovery, the you know cash flow has become an incredibly important thing. And you know, most of the economists are saying we're getting better again, but this is going to last another 2 to 3 years, and even Ben Bernanke, who's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, 4 weeks ago on 60 Minutes said this unemployment situation looks like it'll continue for another 4 or 5 years. Now, that puts a whole new perspective on the need for cash and credit and running your business that way. So a heavy emphasis on cash flow management. And at my website, which is ceotools.com, there are a number of tools that focus on cash and some others that focus on the health of the balance sheet as well.
One of the topics that you've had in previous years that was very impressive to a number of the contractors in attendance talked about how to measure your growth or your changes in your business from one year to the other. Is that something you could touch on in this interview?
Yes. We call those trailing 12-month charts. Basically, what they are is a chart, just like your sales chart, let's say, only it's not monthly. Each dot on the chart corresponds with the month, but it's the annual total of the past 12 months. So you simply add up the sales, for example, of the past 12 months and post it for this month. So if you follow the words, rolling annual total, that's the kind of chart it is. And there's it's fully detailed, again, on my website, which I won't keep mentioning. But what you do with it is you can really see your business improving or not improving, whereas an ordinary monthly chart goes up and down with seasonality, with calendar aberrations, just the number of days difference between February and March, with things like, well, we had three payroll periods this month instead of the normal two, so we didn't do as well. It eliminates all that, so you see what's really going on in your business. And so during that session at the National Pavement Expo, I highlighted how you could use this to have several charts that relate to each other. For example, you want to talk about what causes sales in your business, and we just talked about that a minute ago with customer care. What causes sales in my business, and I want to make more of that happen so that my sales dollars go up, and in turn, my gross profit dollars go up. I manage the operating expenses between that and the bottom line, and so I make the bottom line profit go up. So it's four charts, five charts on one page. Really simple to do, and an awful lot of people are using this now because we've been talking about it for a few years, and it's what drives business, and it ties into that use of the trailing 12-month chart.
Well, I would sure encourage everyone, and I appreciate you saying, well, Jay, I'm not going to keep saying the name of my website. But the fact of the matter is, at ceotools.com, you have, as I recall, these very complex Excel spreadsheets that will help somebody just plug in numbers and actually does all the calculations for them at quite a nominal charge. So that's a very impressive part of what you offer at CEO Tools, and I would absolutely encourage everyone listening to this to go take a look at that and to actually implement the kind of trailing 12-month chart that you're talking about, because it allows you to be much more flexible to recognize when trends are occurring faster than your competitors, and it'll really not only make you money, but save you money.
Well, that's absolutely true, and thank you for mentioning it. I'll just also mention that on that same website, for every tool that the Excel spreadsheet has already worked out and the charts are already worked out, there's a free PDF, an Adobe PDF, that you can open up and print, and it contains the same material. So you could build this yourself if you want to. It's very easy. Plus, there's a little paragraph write-up on it, and all the instructions are included. So I encourage people to just get the free PDFs and take a look at it and see what they can do with it.
Sure, they can decide for themselves what to do, although I know a group of us were talking about this after one of your other presentations in a different year and saying, boy, there's no way you could generate the Excel mathematics for the nominal fee that you charge. So that's very much appreciated.
That's very true. But, I still want people to know that if they want to build it themselves, they sure can do it.
Well, what else should we talk about here?
I touched on a number of other subjects. One of them had to do with determining the values of the people in your company, because let's go back to customers for a second. My fundamental belief is that it's our employees and their interaction with customers that makes a real difference. For example, at the printing company I mentioned earlier, we always said salespeople make the first sale. The people in the printing plant make the second and subsequent sale in every case. And that's because the customers come to the plant and look at their printing on press and go through this with the press people. And the press operators have to be a little bit personable, but obviously have to also technically know what they're doing, and they show the customer that, and the customer falls in love with us and keeps coming back. So I mentioned the thing about values, because if your employees' values are not aligned, I'm talking about their business values, not their personal values, obviously, but if their business values are not aligned, you have this sort of ad hoc, uncoordinated, or discoordinated, even worse, approach with the customer. Whereas if you work at aligning your values, in other words, creating a, for example, a one-page business plan that you give every employee that sort of talks about how we take care of customers and talks about what our goals are with customers. You can even give that one-page business plan to customers, because if it's written correctly, your customers will love what you're saying and give you even more business. So we talked around that subject as well, and that's a very important subject.
Well, having that kind of uniformity throughout your business so that your employees know what's expected of them, know and are part of the team-building process that really starts with you sharing the goals of the company and how you're choosing to operate and so forth. And in a sense, the more they know, if it doesn't align with something they can live with and want to be a part of, then, you know, they'll excuse themselves and be gone to work someplace else, which is exactly what you need. But by bringing this out, I think a very important part of this is to have that one-page plan so that your employees all know, you know, how you operate and sign off on it, either, you know, physically or mentally.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, you said the employees who can't get with the program leave. And I don't remember the name of the company. I it's on the tip of my tongue, and I just can't bring it up. But there's a very, very successful company that sells shoes on the Internet and by phone. And they will pay their employee, any employee, $4,000 to leave today. If that employee is doesn't fit the culture, they encourage them to leave by paying them to leave. And I just think that's kind of a fabulous statement about their culture.
That really is.
And they're tremendously successful. They're outselling everybody right now. That's what I hear anyway. You know, a term that I borrowed from a fellow president, somebody I know, is enculturation. I think enculturation is what we're talking about here, getting your people all into the same groove and in a way that's positive, not dictatorial or overly guiding or however you want to say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't want it to conflict between your press operator and your receptionist and your anybody else in your company. And the only way that you can keep those conflicts by happening is to take the steps to make sure everybody is on the same page. I'll go back to something from the sweeping industry. For many years, I was involved with assisting Schwartz Industries, the sweeper manufacturer. And one of the things that I developed for them was a walk-around of their product. And they had their S-Series parking lot sweepers. They had their A Air-Series sweepers for streets and the M-Series sweepers for mechanical brooms for streets. But no matter whether it was a direct salesperson from their S-Series or one of their dealer representatives or their regional managers for their street machines, which were sold through dealers, they all had a walk-around that they needed to learn for each particular machine, and it always started at the same place on the machine, and it always went around in the same direction, and you always talked about each of the components in the same order, so that no matter which machine a customer was looking at from a Schwartz representative, they would see the exact same process take place, and there weren't any conflicts among the different team members on, you know, when they were working with customers, they were all on the same page. And having that kind of continuity is ever so important. It goes down to even things like I'm astonished today that we have business people that are really running very effective, top-of-the-line businesses, And yet, even from the president, you'll find that they have a Gmail email address that'll come in. It won't be them at their name of their domain company. And even small things like that just really disrupt the continuity of the professional image that you might want to portray.
Well, that's exactly right. That's back to that customer care concept. It's looking at what really works for the customer, and that consistency that you mentioned with Schwartz is something that the customer then can understand without being, you know, sort of bounced around all over the place.
If you develop, especially you anticipate having customers in the long term, and you develop expectations on their part for how they expect a member of your company team to work with them, then you want to make sure that the employee either meets or exceeds those expectations, that's for sure. What is another area that we could talk about?
Well, let's see. Certainly this whole area of which we just mentioned of trailing 12-month charts and the tracking of your company, we want to carry that a whole lot further and not just track financial statements, but also track the bits and pieces that cause financial statements to happen. I call these business key indicators as opposed to financial key indicators. Business key indicators drive the business. So a few minutes ago we talked about what causes sales, but there are many other things that drive the efficiency and the profitability of a company. Things like operating efficiencies. What's your productivity doing? How you measure it in the sweeping industry, but how many square feet or square yards of sweeping per hour by an operator of a sweeper are you doing? That kind of thing, per unit kinds of measures that really drive the efficiency and the profitability of the company. So we want to track those. And again, using trailing 12-month charts, it eliminates all the aberrations that are kicking around in measurements. And you could do that using a trailing 52-week chart, which is the same basic concept. It's the sum of the past 52 weeks entered each week on this chart or on this Excel spreadsheet. And while it sounds like a lot to do, it's so easy. And once you've got it set up, which only takes half an hour to set up, you are now seeing what's really going on. So you can see the productivity improvements. You can see the machine hours and when a machine needs to be refurbished or rebuilt. And you can see the effectiveness of your business, which is a huge part of profitability, obviously.
Well, especially with GPS availability today, which is certainly something that I recommend all sweeping contractors should have GPS, because it provides a lot of security for your customers and certainly a wonderful sales tool to use in getting new customers when you're out there in the night and they're not there to even know if you're providing service. But a GPS, when it's well done, can provide a variety of reports.
Oh,
and you're able to take these reports and plug them into your trailing 52-week or trailing year average charts, and it really does provide a snapshot instantly, really, with less than a 30-day lag of problems that are cropping up in your business. You can see these trends so quickly that it's vitally important, I think, to get on the trailing program. So I'd certainly encourage anyone that's listening to this, if you have not gone to the CEOtools.com website and looked at those, that method of tracking your business, it will revolutionize your ability to be responsive to not only your customers, but to your costs, to your employees, and so forth.
Well, all of these tools, Ranger, are the ones that I used when I was running these eight different companies you mentioned at the beginning. And I mentioned printing, but there was lawnmower manufacturing, there was nutritional products, there was forest products. You just go down the list of various businesses I've been involved with. And, of course, I've been a consultant for 15 years and helped people in the sweeping and paving industries as well. You mentioned the GPS. And, you know, the additional thing that just came to my mind was not only does it provide reassurance for the customers, but it provides reassurance to the employee who's out there running the sweeper. because if he's on GPS, you know, it's tracked, and you know, put a sign on the side of the sweeper so that nobody runs up with a gun and tries to, you know, rob him or do whatever else. That kind of additional care for employees makes a huge difference in their attitude towards the company and the customer.
The employee can't be accused of driving 15 or 20 miles an hour on a lot, supposedly sweeping, but driving too fast for that, of not showing up at a lot. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a cup half full, cup half empty scenario where you have some business owners who have introduced GPS and said, well, this is the way that we're going to find out if everybody's doing their job here. That, to me, is definitely a cup half empty scenario, because if you introduce your GPS as a new way to track the business, to become more profitable, to understand your margins better, to understand and confirm that all of four on the employee's benefit, that they are, in fact, out there doing their job, because, of course, you know they are, or you wouldn't have them on the payroll. So you're confident in that, and you want to be able to show anybody who might question that. And your ideas of safety and security are real big ones. I hadn't given much thought to that, but that's absolutely true.
Well, they're out there at night, and they're working the most undesirable shift in most cases of any job you could think of. You know, in the various manufacturing companies I ran, the graveyard shift, the way we viewed it was, it doesn't make money in and of itself, but it keeps all the machinery running, which takes 8 hours to warm up. And so we save the warm-up period for getting the printing presses operating, for example. And you think of it that way, and you think of people out there at night, and that's an unusual life when you really get right down to it.
It is, but that's certainly when the traffic's gone, and that's when you need to do most kinds of sweeping. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here. Is there anything we've left out that you'd like to include in our interview?
Well, I don't think so. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience again, Ranger, and we've known each other for quite a few years now, and both the National Pavement Expo and NAPSA are close to my heart, so thanks a million for the opportunity.
Well, you're sure welcome, and I definitely appreciate you taking the time to do this. Your information is vitally important to anyone wanting to really get a handle on their business methodology and expenses and how that all relates to making a profit. So when you talk about it being a profit maker's tool chest, I think that's just a very accurate portrayal of your presentation, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Craig Kramers. Craig is president and CEO of CEO Tools Incorporated. The website, again, is ceotools.com. He was a speaker at the 2011 National Pavement Expo and was sponsored by Timco, the sweeper manufacturer, for doing that. Thanks again, Craig.
Oh, you bet, Ranger. My pleasure. Take care.